League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello and welcome to Raising a Pro. I'm Annie Apple, journalist and NFL mom to my son, Eli Apple. Today we have Charlotte Hayward, mom to Super Steelers veteran defensive end Cameron Hayward, who battled severe asthma as a child and in his career. But he's done really well for himself. He's a Pro Bowler and he's been with the same team his entire career. But the real star of the family is truly Charlotte, who kept the family together and progressing after the death of her husband, Craig Hayward, who also played in the league. Charlotte has truly been the glue that has kept the family together and the heart that keeps them thriving. Okay, Charlotte, welcome to Raising a Pro. First of all, thank you so much for joining us. By the way, let's find out, how is your pup doing? What is the puppy's name?
Toomey, like Toomey Luggage.
Oh, Toomey. Okay, so Toomey must travel a lot.
Yeah, he's my little travel partner.
How old is Toomey?
Toomey's two.
Oh, so Toomey's a baby. What happened to Toomey?
Yeah. He got hold of some food. Well, not food. He tried to eat a sock and it got stuck. Yes.
So thank God Toomey is all good.
Yes.
But I know one thing. I'm so glad you agreed to do this because we have like a mutual friend. I think our mutual friend is Betty Roby, but we've never like officially met. But, you know, when this is recorded, we only do the voice. But I just want everybody to know how stunningly beautiful Charlotte Hayward is. She is. The only reason why we don't do video for this is because I'm the problem, right? I'm the one that won't get up and do anything to my face or my hair. But Charlotte is here looking like a whole snack. A whole snack.
Thanks. I appreciate that, Annie.
Well, the camera and I only, you know, we only speak the truth. So, well, let's get to your story because before we get into, you know, Cameron, let's talk about you because I didn't know until I was researching that his father passed right before he went to Ohio State. What was that like for you?
It was pretty hard. We had dealt with Craig's illness for many years, but going into Cameron's season, high school senior year, Craig passed away and the three boys, you know, we had to, you know, have a new norm.
So we have Cameron, Corey, and Connor.
Correct.
And now Toomey. Why didn't Toomey get a C name?
Well, let's see. Because he's the one that just is on the road with me all the time. And Toomey is my favorite type of luggage. So I was like, well, it's a new piece of luggage. So Toomey got the Toomey name. Easy to remember.
I love it. So you won't forget your luggage or your pup.
No, no. And there's also, I also have a daughter, Megan, too.
So Megan didn't even get the seat.
No.
How old is Megan, by the way?
Megan is 24.
Wow. They grow up so fast, don't
they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did Cameron really take to football? Because I know that he went to Ohio State, just like Eli went to Ohio State, but definitely different years. But tell us about that process before even Ohio State.
Well, growing up, Cameron was asthmatic. He still has asthma really bad, but he really wasn't into sports like that. He was like the type of asthmatic that was always hospitalized.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he played soccer, but he had to be the goalie. And he didn't get into football until he was about 11. And a friend of ours, Bobby Hebert, who played with Craig, he was Craig's quarterback with the Saints, was one of the coaches. And he said, let Cam play. And Cameron, about at that time, was probably about 6 foot. At 11.
Wow.
And he was huge, but he was clumsy. You know, he wasn't coordinated. And we said, sure. He was like in one of the last rounds to be drafted because he was just a big walking block of nothing. I mean, he was sorry. And so Bobby drafted him. And then one thing, like when Cameron wants to do something, like he was destined. He was like, I'm determined to be a good football player. And he just fell in love with the game.
And let's get back to your husband, Craig William Hayward. He played football also in the NFL. He played with the Saints, the Bears, the Falcons, the Rams, and the Colts. So he was in the league for about 11 years. So you got to experience the process from that end.
Yes, yes. We got married really young. We were 20 and 21. So yeah, that was my journey. 11 years in the NFL, very interesting. Prepared me for CAM. And we have a mutual friend as well, Sherry Shepherd.
Oh, yes. I love Sherry.
Yeah. Yeah. We were with the Saints together with Derek.
Yes, that's right. With Derek. I didn't even put that together.
We were good
she
friends.
She is hilarious. She's one of my favorite people.
Good person.
And very good friends. And we were both at the Giants together. And we just stayed connected. And I remember she did the podcast. I don't know if you get a chance, listen. And she talks about how her and Derek even got married. She was like, he asked, but I was like, okay, we're going to show up at the courthouse. If he makes it there, then I'll believe, you know, whatever. And she was like, he made it to the courthouse on time, so I had to marry him. Yeah, and his passing, too, was a lot. I mean, he had a heart attack at such a young age and is gone, you know, and leaving her with three little babies. And, you know, it just can't be easy. So did Craig have, like, health issues? And were you concerned about CAM other than the asthma?
Craig didn't have any health issues until we found the tumor. But he was in perfect health before that.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I can relate. Like, in 2017, I had brain surgery. And what happened was, in 2015, I was diagnosed with a blood clot in my brain. And which kind of all of, I mean, because you're healthy, you're fine. The next thing you know, it's like, oh, okay, what is this? And so by 2017, I had to have my whole head open to remove this AVM cell. So it's a very traumatic procedure. It's a lot. So I know it was a lot for you to deal with and to handle while also raising children. So he started playing, you know, Cam started playing and by the time he was 11, clumsy with asthma. I'm shocked that even with asthma, he still went after football, because I was talking to Mama Bettis, Gladys Bettis, and you know, Jerome had bad asthma as well. And she used to sit outside his practice and watch, you know, just to make sure. Because I mean,
I
you don't
too.
Know what you guys. So you did the same thing. Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm. We always had his inhaler in our pocket. His asthma was so bad as a child, we traveled with a nebulizer. So I had a portable nebulizer on a plane, one in the car. Craig always was like checking him. Like, and he played basketball too. He was a really good basketball player. So basketball, you're really running, you know, a lot.
Nonstop.
So we always made sure his trainers had inhalers and we had inhalers. But he's learned to manage it as a pro. And in college, he learned how to really manage it on his own.
Was there ever a point, like as a mom when he was little, you're like, you know what, maybe just take up chess.
Yes.
Maybe the piano. Maybe anything but sports.
Yes, yes. We didn't steer any of them to sports. It just kind of happened organically that they all played sports. But we didn't steer them into it. They each chose their own path.
Now, what's the age difference between the boys? And were they competitive or were they kind of like supporting each other?
Well, they're spread out. So Cameron is 31, about to be 32. Corey is 27.
Oh, so they are spread out.
Yeah. And Connor's 22 and Megan's 24.
What made Ohio State the choice for you guys? Because I understand you were always a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Like you were into football early.
Yes.
Of course, your husband had played everywhere. So when it's time to pick the college, and I think this time you guys were in Georgia, right?
Yes, we've lived in Georgia since 97.
Yeah, so what made Ohio State the best?
We narrowed it down to 5 teams. And I'm from Pittsburgh, so that's why I bleed black and gold. Like, I don't care where Cameron plays. If he went to a different team, like, I'm going to always bleed black and gold.
Well, thank God he stayed with Pittsburgh.
Yes. I mean, it was a dream come true that he got drafted there. But his selection for where to attend college, we had narrowed it down to USC, LSU, Ohio State, Florida, and Georgia. And when we went on, we didn't take any officials except for until basketball season was over. Cameron was not the typical recruit. He did not answer the phone for coaches. He wouldn't respond back to text messages. They would call me, Urban would call me and say, is Cameron mad at me? Like, he won't answer me. I'm like, no, he just doesn't like the phone. He still doesn't like the phone.
Urban was with Florida at that point, right?
Yes. He was recruiting okay. Cameron at Florida.
Is there a baby in the room?
Yeah. Sorry. It's my little grandson.
That's okay. I'm like, is that Toomey speaking English or is that a baby in the room?
No, that's a baby. CJ just blessed us with a little cackle there. But when we went to Ohio State, and if anybody knows Cameron's not the type that he's not a partying guy. He's just kind of quiet, likes to stay home. So we went to Ohio State. We went to the Michigan game and we went on.
That's an experience.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And it was that like game of the century where the score was like 44, 42 or something. And because it was an unofficial, we took the visit. Nobody was there to meet us. We had to go park somewhere and figure out how to get there.
And Tressa was the head coach then, right?
Yes, yes. And I didn't know much about Tressa at that point. And we parked far away, like really far. And we were walking to the game and we met a couple. And we said, are we walking in the right direction? And they said, yes. And they said, are you here for a special reason? And we said he was being recruited. And they just started sharing things with us about how much they love Coach Tressel, how he has this website, and how the woman said she had never loved football before and has fallen in love with it. And they were going to Schottenstein Center to watch the game, which is the arena. And I was like, you're going to an arena to watch the game? Why aren't you going to the game? And they said it sold out, but we go and watch it there.
Overflow.
Yeah. And that caught me off guard. I was like, okay, real fan. And then I started reading the signs that said best fans in the land. And she told me to check out Coach Tress's website. That was a plus, learning, you know, from people who weren't even, you know, they really didn't know who Cameron was. And they were just sharing. So we get to the game and everybody stood the whole game. And I was like, wow, nobody's sitting down. It was intense. And Cameron was kind of feeling ill. So at halftime, when we went in, you know, how you go in to eat during halftime, the recruits come in. He didn't want to go back out for the second half. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, this is like, this game is like intense. Let's go. He was like, I just want to sit here. He does not like to watch football. He'd rather be playing. Like this still to this day, he does not watch a whole game. He'll check it. He wants to just be on the field. So he was like, I'm fine. So I was like, okay. So after that, the game, it was a great game, but because we weren't an official recruit, we didn't go with everybody.
Did we win? I forgot. Did we win?
We did.
Of course. Thank you. I just wanted all the Michigan fans out there to remember.
OH. And
IO.
There you go. Yeah. So after the game, we drove around, we kind of learned the lay of the land up there in Columbus. And I think he went and met with James Laurinaitis afterwards. And James kind of has the same personality.
Oh, I love James.
Yes. Yeah. And they have the same personality. So they just like chilled out, played video games. Then we had to meet with the basketball coaches because he was being recruited for basketball as well. And at that point,
really?
Yeah, he thought he was going to play two sports at Ohio State. And he later learned.
Oh, my God. He thought wrong.
Yes. Yes.
That's a lot. That would have been a lot.
Coach Mata. And we saw basketball practice. And then we went with Coach Jefferson and did the educational piece. And when we left Columbus and we were flying home, it was the only school that he wanted to buy some things at the airport. And that's it.
Really?
You know, so it came down to Florida and Ohio State and he chose Ohio State.
Wow. And so, I mean, I remember falling in love with, well, Vince Young was one of the reasons we fell in love with college football, but we fell in love with Ohio State with Troy Smith, Tressel, and just that whole team. It was special. And Coach Tressel was special. Still this day is one of my favorite coaches.
Yes, one of my favorite people.
Yeah, really good. I was sad to see him, you know, see him go, but NCAA issues, that's another whole show.
Mm-hmm.
But Cameron did his thing at Ohio State. They went to the BCS National Championship, lost to LSU. What was his major and at what point was you could tell that, as you know, he was ready to take this to the next level?
He was an education major. He wanted to be a middle school math teacher.
That's very specific, Charlotte.
I said, well, what are you going to do in education? My parents are educators. And he said, I think I'd like to teach math, but middle school. And I said,
such a pivotal age, though.
Yeah.
Middle school kids are, they're like the tween version of you in your 40s. You know what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
Like literally, it's like 40-something-year-old, 11-year-olds. Okay, so middle school math teacher, that's very important.
Yeah. And then people were thinking that he was going to leave his junior year, but because we had been in football, you know, it had been our lives, he knew, we had said to him, you know, it's a business and you totally lose, you know, all of your childhood once you sign that contract. Like, you are a man. Like, there's no more days off. There's no sick days. I mean, the NFL is an experience. It's a great experience, but I think everybody has to be ready. And he said, Mom, I'm just not ready. I still want to be a college student and I want to be a captain at Ohio State. And Tress had a rule that only seniors could be captains.
That's not fair.
It was okay. Turned out okay for him. And so he stayed and he was a captain his senior year and he had a great year, but it was the year of the defensive ends when he came out. There was like 13 in the first round.
Wow. I know. And he went, what, number 31? But let's go back to, you know, his dad being a part of his journey, his sports journey, and not having his dad there when he went to college. How did that impact Cam?
I think he took on the role of like looking over us, you know, but I didn't want him to. I wanted him to enjoy college, but, you know, he would check in with us, like everything good at home. But I think it also raised his determination that he wanted to reach his goal, make his dad proud.
He certainly has. And how did you manage, though? Because that's the thing. Because I think sometimes as women, we just like, I have to compartmentalize my morning because I have kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, I still have to find a way to figure this thing out. How were you able to, you know, to do that and do it so well? Because I remember talking to Sherry when she talked about how when Derek died, that she was just like sad. And then at one point she was like, I got to get my stuff together because my kids, you know what I mean? And it's almost like, is there a point where you like, you're fully free to mourn? Because I feel like you're just in survival mode as far as like, you have to keep going.
Life doesn't stop. Cameron was in college. Corey was in high school. Megan and Connor were in middle school. I mean, elementary. So it was a lot of balancing. And I was so busy. Everybody's playing sports and, you know, with school activities. I'm room mom. I'm working as a realtor. I look back, a lot of it's a blur because I was here, there, everywhere. It was definitely a challenge, but it has made life seem even much easier now that I don't have to do all of those things anymore.
At what point do you think that you actually took time to mourn?
I think with us watching, Craig was an incredible athlete, especially for his stature being 6 foot, 250 pounds, and he could vertically dunk a ball, just go straight up and dunk a ball. I mean, he was one of a kind. And to see how his illness had brought him to a point where he was losing respect as a man. You know, at first, when he was diagnosed, he was still driving, playing golf. ESPN had wanted him to be a broadcaster. I mean, there's a lot going on. And then just to see the demise of his health, I think that was easier for us to say goodbye because it was hard for him as a man. Like, he had, you know, lost the ability to eat, hear.
This brain tumor was severe.
Yeah, it came back. It was aggressive and, you know, he had had a stroke in his later years and he was 39 when he passed away. But to see someone so young and vibrant.
That is so young.
Yeah. So we had time to process, I think. It still was a huge loss to the boys and I, but we had time to process. You know, Derek passed away like suddenly. And I think sometimes that's harder because there's no forewarning.
Exactly. Yeah. I think Derek was like 34, I want to say.
He was, young. Yeah.
He's very young.
So, you know, my father passed away when I was 10 and it was sudden. So I think looking back, it prepared me with my children, though, you know, losing a parent. And it helped me with them. But it's harder, I think, if you lose someone suddenly and you're not prepared at all. We were prepared. Well, I was preparing the kids.
And it seemed like everything you had gone through in your life before then kind of prepared you for every moment you faced. Isn't that weird? You know, being married to Craig, you got to understand how NFL business works. The sudden loss of your dad helped you to protect, to really prepare your children and help them through this process. Because you know what it's like to be a child whose father died. But you've done tremendously because not just for the on-field success, but just the ability to keep your family emotionally going, like progressing forward, you know, not deteriorating. So I commend you on that. So let's talk about the draft process. What were your expectations going into the draft?
Cameron, his last game, tore all the tendons in his elbow at the Sugar Bowl. And so he had to rehab.
Yeah, he had to have surgery, right?
Yeah. So he didn't go to the combine and perform. He went and did interviews.
He didn't miss anything. Them little tight behind shorts and throwing our babies up there. He was, you know, I'm sure he was just like, thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
So he watch my tape. Right. Watch my tape.
Well, they came and did a pro day at Ohio State. So that was kind of nice because I got to attend. My parents came. And I think 30 out of the 32 teams came. And kind of what the young guys are going through now with COVID during their pro days at their school for the combine. And Coach Tomlin came and talked to me. And being a Steeler fan and my parents going to training camps, you know, like we're diehards. Coach Tomlin coming over to us was like, whoa.
Listen, Coach Tomlin was at our pro day, and the way all the moms were smiling.
Right?
We were.
We'll just leave it right there.
Yes. We'll just pause it right there. I was just like, you know what? Something for the moms. There is a God, and we would like to thank you very much.
He's a great man. Like, I feel so lucky that Cameron went from Coach Tress to Coach Tomlin. He's got two of the best.
He got the classiest of the coaches.
Yes, yes. And he said to me, you know, Ms. Hayward, we love your son, his character. If he's around, we're going to take him. I was like, okay. I mean, I've heard a lot of things.
You didn't think he was just saying that to make you feel good?
Yeah. I've heard a lot of things in the NFL, you know.
I know. You don't believe anything until the contract is signed and the money hit the account.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, thanks. You know, we'd love for him to be a Steeler, but, you know, we'll see how things pan out. But we had a great conversation. And then Cameron didn't want to go to, you know, New York for the draft. He wanted to actually go to Disney World. And I nixed that idea. I was like, we're not walking around having cameras follow us around Disney World. No. So we had a party here at the house and the call came through. I felt like his dad had something to do with it because I was thinking, okay, I got to go get him set up. You know, I've got my other kids. I got a lot going on, but I got to make sure he's right wherever he goes, get him mentally right. And it was like, it was perfect. Like he went back home where Cameron was born in Pittsburgh. My mom and dad, you know, were still living there. My stepfather, who's my father as well, who passed away last year. But he was going back home and it was just so easy that, you know, he was going to be with my sister. It was just, it was perfect. And he gets to play for the best team in the NFL.
And you've been a lifelong Steelers fan. So it just was like, what prayer did you pray, Charlotte, that got that? Please let us know.
I just said, Craig, you got this. Like, help us. And Craig had a talk with God and it just worked out. It just worked out.
So Craig was just like, while he was chilling in heaven, was like, listen, God, I need my son to go home.
But please take him home. Please take him home.
And this was a kid who had really bad asthma, traveling with a nebulizer and from high school, then college, and now to the pros. So he goes to Pittsburgh. What were your expectations as far as his league career? Because now, I mean, fast forward, what, his 10th, 11th season?
Mm-hmm. His first 2 years, Coach LeBeau, the defensive coordinator, didn't believe in playing rookies. So his first 2 years were really frustrating. Cameron's used to being on that field. And he'd gotten so many fights in training camp because I think he was trying to prove himself, like, I need to be playing more. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they unleashed him, he was on. And I'm just so proud of him because he's such a leader on and off the field. Cameron is a better man than he is an athlete, and he's an all pro. I mean, he's just such a good person. I'm just so proud of him. He's a great father, husband, brother, son, friend. He's a great teammate. He's just a good man.
Let's go back to, because he's definitely this big athletic guy, great at sports. From high school to college, what words of wisdom did you give him when it came to dating and girls? Because we know we deal a lot with that. What was your advice?
He had dated only a couple of girls in high school, like two. And one I loved, but I just knew that wasn't the right thing. I mean, I love her still. And the other one, I couldn't stand. And they all knew it. I'm not real good at hiding my face, my comments. And I was happy he was going away to school. And he met his wife first week of college. And they have been together since. And I have the best daughter-in-law in the world. Like, love her to death. She is such a genuine person. And they are the perfect match. He was so focused that he was going off to college. I didn't worry that that was going to affect him. Like, I didn't think that relationship was going to continue. And then he met Allie because he didn't go out and the girls' volleyball team felt bad for him because all his roommates were in the streets having fun as freshmen. And the girls' volleyball team would say, well, come hang out with us. And that's how he met his wife, because she was a volleyball player.
Oh, another athlete. Yeah. Well, yeah. She understands. So, I mean, years with Pittsburgh, you know, Mike Tomlin is easy Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame coach. But they won the Super Bowl the year before Cam got there. I think I read somewhere where Cam was like, he really wants to go to a Super Bowl. So what is that push like? Because now he is like a veteran, right? So how much longer do you think he wants to play this?
Well, he said he wants to play until he feels like it's affecting his health, his ability to be a good father and husband. He said, if I, you know, start seeing some things that say, okay, this isn't going to be good, then I'll end the game. But he takes such good care of his body right now that his goal is to win a Super Bowl. And that drive in him is good and bad, because he will play hurt. He will play like with no energy. He will just keep going. So like this year, you know, we started off great, undefeated. We kind of fell apart at the end because we were injured. Like, our team was going through a lot. He took it so personal. Like, he went into a deep place after the season, because he really puts it on his shoulders. And he knows that, you know, with free agency, you lose players that, you know, are good friends and good teammates. And he really thought that last year they had the crew, but we had a lot of injuries. But he takes it to heart. So it's been an interesting offseason.
Offseason is tough because, like you said, free agency, you do lose guys. What has been the secret to Cam's longevity? He's been at the same place for, you know, his entire career.
Yeah, which is rare. I think because he has always been a staple in the community. Even before we started the foundation, he did everything that the Steelers would ask for him on his days off. He was always in the community. His day would be full. He'd have six or seven things he had to do. It's home. So we take it upon ourselves a little bit differently of what we do in the community. And I believe that they see him in the locker room, him in the community, and him as a player on the field, that they took that into consideration.
So tell me about the Cameron Hayward Foundation.
The Cameron Hayward Foundation is our foundation. It's otherwise known as the Hayward House. And that comes out of our house was a place for everyone to come. And we always had somebody living with us that we were helping through a transition or a need. And we give back to the city of Pittsburgh and here in Atlanta as well, with children, disadvantaged children in many different respects. So we work with schools doing Blessings in a Backpack. We have a special program called Craig's Closet, which is named after Craig, where we help young men with dress clothes. We have like a store in front of my office, and they come in and get clothing for graduations, job interviews. We teach them how to tie a tie, and they leave with a garment bag, suit, and everything. And we're just always trying to give back in as many ways as we can in the city.
So if you had to predict, what do you see Cam doing after football? Middle school math teacher? I mean, there still needs some good middle school
math
teachers.
I don't see that. I think he would take a little bit of time off with his kids. He is great at interviews. He truly impresses me. I could see him getting into broadcasting as long as it doesn't take him away from his family too long.
So what advice would you give parents who, you know, sons playing football, whatever, especially with asthma? What's the one lesson that you learned you think that is a great nugget for families?
Trust your kids, especially as they grow into young men, that they can learn how to take care of their own health. And trust the medical training, you know, as far as asthma is concerned, because the trainers know what to do and they're prepared. But I guess with any parents who's, you know, their sons are going into the NFL, to know that it is a business. A lot of people tend to look at it as a lifestyle and it's a job. I don't know. I talk to a lot of young men in regards to this, a lot of rookies that don't get caught up because it can end at any moment. There's no love in the NFL. The management side of it, it's truly a business. And when you think someone's your friend, you just don't know. You know, friend at one point, but when it comes down to that bottom line, you are just a number. And just don't get caught up in the lifestyle of spending. And it's even harder now because when we were first started, it was different. It wasn't social media. But now I think the pressures of social media have guys thinking that you have to just live up to a certain way. And you have a chance to build a legacy for your family if you do what's right with your money. So I truly try to advise young men to get a good advisor. And you can buy nice things, but to do it in a smart way.
What a fulfilling conversation that was with Charlotte Hayward. You know, you can know of people, but you really don't know them until you talk to them and hear their story. And I'm telling you, that is one solid woman. The experience of losing her dad as a child helped her to nurture and support her children when they lost their father. And when she lost her husband, the strength to be able to keep their passion growing, they enjoyed football together, and she kept that dream alive. And I love how she said that they prayed to Craig when it was time for Cameron to be drafted, and how Cameron ended up in Pittsburgh because she knew that he just needed to be home. Her family was there. Everybody was there. I love how life just sometimes comes full circle. It was really a sad moment, but it also fills you with hope and reminds you that life continues. Which brings me to today's Annie's Clapback. For so many of us, whether it's COVID or just illnesses, there's been so much death and so much loss that it just really reminds you never to take life for granted. Listen, I personally do not allow anyone to waste my todays because I don't know how many tomorrows I got. Every day I get up, each day I make it my goal to live a finished life. Because when I leave this planet, every laugh would have been laughed, every dance danced, every song sung, every joy maximized. This is my daily will, leaving no space, time, or energy for bullshit or those who major in nothingness. Don't allow anyone to waste your todays because you don't know how many tomorrows you have. As always, thank you all very much for listening. Raising a Pro is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. I would love if you could support the show by giving it a follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're enjoying it, then please make sure you rate and review. See you next time, family.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.